This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
How would you describe your identity?
Butch is the main one. I think on my Tumblr page it says I am butch, genderqueer, Jewish, and sad. I am gay every way. No matter who I'm attracted to, it still feels gay, because if I'm attracted to a girl, I feel like I'm a butch girl, but if I'm attracted to a boy, I feel like I'm a boy. And then if I'm attracted to another genderqueer person, it's the gayest, because just genderqueer all the way. And I also think that butch is a gender in itself, so I'm not a butch lesbian, I'm just butch, and that's a thing.
Is that? How do you talk to other people about your identity, especially people who aren't part of the queer and trans community and maybe don't understand what that means?
Mostly I don't. Like, I don't know, with my parents, I made them read Persistence by, is that
I think it's Joan Nestle and...
Whatever, I made them read... Okay. So with my parents, with my mother especially, I was just kind of offhand mention being butch. And she'd be like, oh, don't say that. That's not nice. You're very pretty. You don't have to be butch. You don't have to be mean to yourself. And then I made her read Persistence. And she was like, oh, I get it now. And that was a thing. But mostly outside of the queer community, I just... describe myself as, well, if people ask me, I will go into detail about being genderqueer and being not feeling like a girl or a boy and being specifically butch. But if they don't ask me, I just assume that they assume that I'm a butch lesbian, and that's how I kind of act around them. That's probably partially because of my anxiety that I don't want to upset the apple cart.
Yeah.
What
reaction did your mum and your family have once they read that book?
I mean, I was like this already. I just think they thought that butch was like dyke. Mm. Or, you know, they thought there was a derogatory word. They didn't realise that butch was like kind of like, you know, when it's a really hot day and you left your drink bottle at home and you haven't had a drink all day, and you get home and you fill up like the biggest glass in the cupboard and you just drink it all in one go. That is how describing myself as butch felt the first time. And I don't think people who aren't in the queer community, or even people who are just part of the gay community instead of the queer community, I don't think that they understand that. Does that make sense?
Yep. Good. How did you come to the term butch? Especially, I guess, a lot of people these days might see butch as a term that was associated with kind of lesbians back in the, I don't know, quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
But how did you find it, and how do you think it's evolved?
Well, I mean, I knew what butch meant, you know, growing up. Well, not growing up, but, you know, being 12, 13, whatever. And then... a person at Q Youth lent me a book called Butch as a Noun, which is by S.B. Bergman, and I was already like pretty masculine, but at that point I wasn't sure if I was just a masculine girl or if I was a trans boy or if I was somewhere in the middle, because all the genderqueer people you see on the internet are skinny and pretty, and, you know, I'm not skinny. I'm a very specific kind of... I have very weird looks. I don't know, but... The book was Butch as a Noun, and S.B. Bergman opens by talking about how they think that butch is a gender... in itself, and you can be a butch lesbian, but you can also just be butch by itself.
do you know many other people who identify as butch, or is there like an online community or anything else?
I know more people who are femme than butch. I don't think I know anyone who has gone out of their way to describe themselves to me as butch. I've talked to people and been like, oh, by the way, do you identify as butch? Because it's very lonely. And part of my being butch is making butch a safe thing to be, because I think a lot of masculine people are just taking up space that isn't theirs. And I know a lot of genderqueer people, but not many. I don't think I've met any who specifically identify as butch. Online too. Yeah. I think that's partially because it is seen as old fashioned.
Do you want to tell me a bit more about what you said about making butch safe and masculine people taking up too much space?
Yeah, I can. I'm good at talking about this. Okay, so a lot of masculine people. Most of my friends are women, or at least femme identified. Like even my male friends, a lot of them identify as femme. And for a long time, femininity has been seen as weak and lesser and just not as good as being masculine. And I'm not masculine because I'm not feminine. I'm masculine because I'm masculine, and I don't want to use that to take away from the feminine. Am I making sense? Because if I could be, I would be, because I just think femmes are great. But I do not work in that way. But a lot of the masculine people I've met, I don't want to offend anyone is the thing, but quite a few of the more masculine, especially assigned female at birth people, are kind of overcompensating, and a lot of them talk shit about feminine people, or talk about the bitches and stuff. And I part of being butch for me is making space for feminine people to be feminine, and I don't want to I feel bad about talking about it too, because I feel like I'm taking it away from feminine people. Does it make sense? Like, I feel by talking about this, I am talking over people whose voices should be heard, because people take me more seriously because I'm masculine. I've noticed that since I started dressing more masculine, acting more masculine, and changed my name and stuff, and I feel bad about it. I don't know, I'm sorry, I feel like I'm talking myself into a hole.
I think that's a really cool thing to be aware of, and it is, you know, that is like a reality that people are going through, but I think it's really cool to talk about that, and and about making butch a safe word, and what you're talking about is actually awesome compared to people who are putting down femininity.
I know I keep saying this, but a major part of me being butch is the fact that femmes exist. Like, that's, I'm not just butch, I am part of butch / femme, even though I don't, yeah. But
what does femme mean to you?
The way I see femmes is that they're taking something that has been taken away from them and made into something that you're not supposed to want to be, and they're taking that back and making it even better than it was before. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So what's it like living in Nelson as a young queer trans person?
Nobody knows if I'm a boy or a girl. No one knows anywhere else, but a lot of people aren't sure how to deal with it. I get a lot of street harassment, kind of. ugh, are you a faggot or a dyke? It's okay if you don't, mostly it's that people don't know how to react to someone who looks like me. Whereas in somewhere like Wellington, where I've been living for the past 8 months or so, they've seen a fair amount of people who kind of present the same way as me, and they're kind of used to it. Or if they're not used to it, they just know not to say anything or be a dick about it.
What was your school like? Your school experience has been
cool. I went to an all-girls school, which is weird because after the fact I realised that quite a few of my friends from that school who went to that school are not girls. But that was that. I have a lot of feelings about the school. Am I allowed to say what school I went to? I went to Nelson College for Girls, which has a uniform, and the uniform is a skirt. I think I got, you know, year nine, didn't know what to expect, and I wasn't out until the end of year nine. I mean, people probably knew because I'm pretty obvious, but Nelson College for Girls puts a lot of emphasis on the whole young ladies thing and being, you've got to be academic and you've got to be nicely presented, and that does not mean wearing no makeup and having short hair. That means wearing a small amount of makeup to make you look so-called natural, and having your hair neatly pinned back and your blouse tucked in nicely and, you know, all that stuff. And I didn't do that. I didn't feel like I was really a part of that school. I was in the accelerant class for the first 2 years, which was full of people who were smarter than me, because I learn in a very specific way. So it felt like everyone there, like I felt like I was the dumbest person in the class, basically. And they were all really pretty girly girls. And the nicest thing, I feel awful saying this, the nicest thing my tutor teacher ever said to me was, "Have you lost weight?" Which was not a very good thing to say to me. It wasn't very nice anyway, but that was a thing. I was going to talk about this other thing, because when I got to about year 11, girls started saying things to me like, "Oh, you're so funny, you're so cute, if you were a boy I would totally date you," which was not, it was like, on the one hand I was like, "Oh yeah, warm and fuzzy," but on the other hand they, it kind of felt like, "Oh, let's be nice to the lesbian." On the other hand, when year 11 is, that was probably when I was like starting to come out as being genderqueer, or, you know, not being a girl. I was starting to like turn up over in my head and try to figure out what I was. And girls saying, "If you were a guy, I would totally date you," kind of reminded me that I wasn't a guy. Another thing that I'd like to talk about is how manly that skirt made me feel. I did a class at the boys' college, and, you know, have to walk the 10 minutes to the boys' college to get there, and, you know, I'd be in the skirt walking onto the boys' college grounds, and I would feel like twice as masculine as every other person there, which is really weird. I always felt super manly when I was wearing that skirt in a room full of boys. I don't know why that was. I didn't like Nelson College for Girls. I just don't think I was good at school in any way. But then after that I went to Nayland for my last year, and I introduced myself as Spencer, and everyone kind of went with it. But then they kind of stopped going with it, but then they went with it again. Because teachers call me by my birth name, so people kind of figured out that it wasn't, that Spencer wasn't my birth name. But there are a lot. It's very different to NCG. because obviously it's a co-ed school. And I was treated, well, the girls treated me more like a boy at Nayland than they had at Nelson College for Girls, probably because I wasn't wearing a girl's uniform everywhere.
What was it like having queer straight alliances at both of those schools while you were there?
First off, the Girls College Queer Straight Alliance was actually started by me and a couple of my friends. And then one of those friends left to go to Nayland earlier than me, and I kind of lay down on the floor and had a bit of a cry for no good reason, not about the Queer Straight Alliance but about other things that were going, but I stopped going to the Queer Straight Alliance because of that. But anyway, the Nelson Girls Queer Straight Alliance, even though I helped found it, was not a big part of my life. At that point, the Nayland Queer Straight Alliance was probably a bigger deal in my life than the girls one, even though I wasn't going to Nayland.
Why was that?
I don't know. I think it was probably Q Youth that did it, because, you know, that started up. How old was I when Q started? Was I 14?
It started in 2009.
So. I don't know, not many people went to the Girls Queer Straight Alliance when I went. And then I stopped going and it kind of went out of my hands. And also, I'm not very social person like I'd like to be, but at that point the Queer Straight Alliance at Girls seemed more like a sit around and chat about our day thing, and I wasn't good at that. I didn't end up going to NAGS very much either when I got to Nayland, but before I got to Nayland, NAGS was a bit bigger thing, probably because of Q Youth. Q Youth was great, though. Q Youth was a good thing. What would you want me to say?
Yeah, do you want to talk more about Q Youth?
I do, but I don't know what to say.
How did you get involved?
I can't remember. I think you told someone to tell me that I should come along to a committee meeting or something, which is,
what did it mean to be part of that group?
Well, I was recognised as being queer, whereas at school I was the lesbian. At school it was a big deal for me to be queer, and people were like, oh, that's the lesbian, oh my god. But at Queer Youth everyone was queer and no one really cared what I was. And I went to a hui that, Q Youth organised for me to be able to get there. I went to Kazam, and that was the first time someone ever asked me what pronoun I used, and it was a very nice thing to happen, basically. But, oh wow. My favourite parts of Queer Youth were always the parts where we actually talk about issues and important things instead of sitting around and having a chat, because, you know, that might be... I'm better at talking about things where I've got something directly, you know, that I have to talk about. And I like educating people too, which is... weird. I don't know if it's weird. If the people listening to this in the distant future knew me now, they would understand why that's weird. Because I'm not a people person. But I do like, I like talking about important things. And Q kind of gave me a space to talk about important things with people who already knew the basis of what I was talking about.
What's the difference between being in a space where people, you have something in common with that identity stuff, or at least they know a little bit about it, compared to outside that world?
One thing about Q Youth is that no one assumed I was a girl, which is great. No one really I mean, at the outset, I think youth is special, at least when I was attending, like, every day, in that people were, these are teenagers who are already really well educated about the queer community, and not just about gay and lesbian issues, but about trans issues and intersectionality, and how queer issues and feminist issues and racism and all that jazz, and how they all fit together. And these are really smart kids. Like, at the time I thought it was normal, but looking back on it now, we were like 14, 15, 16 years old, and we knew all this stuff, which is really cool. And Key Youth also has this great library. I know that sounds really weird to say, but it's such a good library. So many good books. That was a good thing. Yep. Q Youth isn't just... I feel like an asshole for talking about certain types of people like this, but Q Youth isn't just run by you know, upper middle class white gay men. but it's cool, and it's good, and I think, I don't know, I have a feeling that it might be different from other queer straight alliances, like community queer straight alliances, not school queer straight alliances, but yeah, I don't know.
So has having a sense of, like, belonging to that group and kind of a community been really important to you?
Like I've been saying, I'm not the most social animal, but for a lot of my life I felt like I was like walking around with like the big glass box around me, and like I was looking out at the people, but they couldn't see me. But with Q Youth it was like I didn't have that anymore. Yeah. I'm not sure how early now. I haven't been back in a while. But I'm going to go on Wednesday, and I don't know, I'm scared.
Why are you scared?
Because I haven't been back in ages, and it might have changed. Because I've been living in Wellington for a while. Yeah.
What do you think are some of the main issues that are facing queer and trans youth in New Zealand at the moment?
Like, major issues, or like... the average
anything youth you talk about
issues. Oh. I know. I think there needs. I am absolutely 100% of the idea that there needs to be more trans representation in the media, and not just binary trans, but every gender should be represented. The marriage equality thing was good, but I'm glad that I can get married, because that's actually a thing that I want to do, but I didn't think it was the thing that was needed the most at that point. I think they could have focused on a lot of different, more important things, especially queer youth. The I'm trying to put this tactfully, but bluntly, the suicide problem with queer youth, and how so many of my friends have depression and are having suicidal thoughts. I don't think the heteros really understand that it's not about having, you know, that couple on Modern Family. Mm. That's not enough. Brittany and Santana are not enough. We need people who actually look like us and have our same problems and stuff represented in the media. And coming out as a lesbian was the easiest thing I did. After that, figuring out that I wasn't actually a girl or solely attracted to girls was really hard, and kind of having to backtrack a little bit, but also make this huge leap into explaining to people that I'm a different gender. That's one thing. I know there's so many things. Also, I just want people to be more educated, especially teenagers who might be just figuring out that they're queer. So they don't they realise they don't have to try and fit themselves into the gay box or the lesbian box. They can be anything. And I want people to know that queerness is fluid. I'm saying all these things that like other people have said to me, but they're true. And I feel like they're cliches, but they're true. I want people to realise that queerness is fluid, and you don't have to be one thing for the rest of your life. And if you've been identifying as a lesbian, you've told everyone you're a lesbian, you've had a girlfriend for the past 5 years, and one day you're attracted to Harry Styles, I don't want that to be a bad thing. Like on Chasing Amy, when what's her name? I think Alicia's the character's name, tells all her lesbian friends, "Oh, I'm seeing someone," and starts using they as the pronoun. And they're like, why are we playing the pronouns game? You're not dating a man, are you? And she's like, yes, actually. And it's a big deal, and it shouldn't be a big deal. You can still be a lesbian. If that's the term that you identify most with, then be a lesbian. Just date a guy for a while. Or not, you know, just... You don't have to stay one thing for the rest of your life, and you don't have to change yourself to fit into that thing, even if that thing is what you are.
So you don't see your identity reflected in the media at all?
The closest thing to my identity that I've seen in the media is Big Boo from Orange is the New Black, who is the butch character. But no, I don't see teenage genderqueer characters at all. Most so-called butch characters. I keep going to make the bunny ears, but I say so-called instead. But most so-called butch characters in media are butch lesbians, and they are women. And they're often treated as a joke, which is horrible, because being butch is like the coolest thing. Part of it is because I'm not a thin person, and all the sexy masculine lesbians on TV are like Shane from The L Word, and what other lesbians are on TV? Oh no, sorry. But most butch people on TV are definitely women. And most trans people on TV are binary. And that's not even very much, because I can think of like three trans characters in TV off the top of my head. And that is not enough. Mm. Yeah. So I don't see people like me on TV or anywhere except for the internet.
Do you think things are changing? Like, what do you think are going to be the issues in, like, 10, 20, 50 years' time?
I think things are changing, but I don't think things are changing quickly enough. Mm. I'm scared that in 15 years' time there will still only be a small amount of queer people on TV, and they'll be the kind of queer people that straight people want queer people to be, if that makes sense.
Maybe just to sum up, what's your favourite thing about being a queer trans person in New Zealand?
I wasn't expecting that question. Oh no, I need some time to think. I don't know. I like femmes. I think that's my favourite thing. New Zealand femmes.
Awesome.
Ace. Good job, ladies.